لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Respected elders, brothers and dear friends, indeed it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that from amongst all creation Allah has chosen me and you to be the best of creation. Ashraful makhluqat. Allah has made this particular creation of His Khalifatul Ard. And from the very onset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man's first abode was Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants man that his final abode should be Jannah. But now it is left up to man whichever route he chooses, whether the correct path or the path towards hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to this dunya, which is a test, it is an examination period, which will determine our future, and that too what Allah wants in this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think I have created you without any reason or purpose? And don't you realize that you're going to return to me? So there's a definite purpose. And what is this purpose? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man excepting that they worship me. Now worship, generally when we define the term worship, we confine it to certain types of rituals. To many of us, worship means salah, tilawat, hajj, zakat, fasting, adhkar, and that is worship. No. Every command of Allah becomes an act of worship. Whatever command Allah has to enter into marriage, and you do it with the correct intention, is an act of worship. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا. It's a command. Enter into marriage. Now that you are accepting and acting upon the command of Allah, it becomes an ibadah. And Allah wants عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, for men to carry out good actions. Hence, Allah did not leave it up to me and you to determine what is good and what is bad. Imagine if He said, oh insan, now you choose what's good and what's bad. With the guidelines from the Quran and Sunnah, you see so much fitna because people misinterpret and misconstrue for their own whims and fancies. There's so much friction. If Allah left it unto me and you without Quran and Hadith, can you imagine the condition of this ummah? So what Allah does? Allah chooses for me and you what's good and what's bad. Allah is our creator. He knows our natural phenomena. What man desires, what is good for man, what is evil for man. So we've got Quran. And that Quran, if Allah wanted, reveal it immediately down, send Jibreel Amin with it, leave it into the Hatim area on the Baytullah, follow these guidelines. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends on the greatest of creation to personify the Quran, to put the Quran into practice. And that is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to reach Allah, we cannot reach Allah without Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no way. For everything where Allah's name is taken, together with it is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, just to highlight, What an important point. For those that claim to love Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ Allah says, oh, whenever Allah says, قُلْ, He's referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say unto those that claim to love me, that their claim can only be correct. And only one condition. There's no other condition. فَاتَّبِعُونِ They must follow you. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they must follow you. If they follow you, that claim that they've got to love me, then it is genuine. But forget them now, claiming to love me. If they follow you, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ I will love them. Allah says, He will love those. So how important, if this link we do not concentrate, if this link we do not value, if this link we do not follow, then to reach Allah is impossible. And what did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam do for this ummah? No other prophet has sacrificed, shown concern, and cried for the ummah like Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Immense love. He did not specify those that follow my sunnah, only them. No. He did not specify those that carry out or perform tahajjud, they my ummah. No. Even the sinful ummati, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about and made dua for them. And made dua for me and you. This is how much he loved his ummah. He does not want to see his ummah, not even one of his ummati go into Jahannam. Hence, every prophet had one dua that Allah had given a speciality. Each prophet used it for those that disbelieve or those that did not follow them. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never utilized that dua. He kept it for the day of judgment so he can now intercede and see to it that every ummati will enter Jannah. This is the love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for me and you. How much do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? First, if you pose the question, do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I don't think a single person will even hesitate and say, no, I don't love. We all love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now, if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much do we love him? Because one of the branches of Iman is to love him so much, more than our own lives. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he wants to express his love. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than my wealth, my belongings, my possessions, my family. But only thing, I love myself more than you, my life more than you. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Your iman is incomplete. Iman. So what is the branch of iman? After pausing for a moment, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab then says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I love you more than my own life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-an, now your iman is complete. So the branch of iman and for the completion of our iman is to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than our own lives. Now do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that magnitude? We have to question ourselves. If not, we have to work towards it. And can we attain that and achieve it? Yes. We don't have to speak just hadith. Let's go into the Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اتَّرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا ومساكن ترضونها O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto those that love their parents, that love their children, that love their siblings, that love their partners, that love their families, that love their wealth, that love their possessions, even if it's going down their businesses, they love their homes. أَحَبَّ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ If they love all this, more than Allah, his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fighting in the cause of Allah, then tell them that they should await that time, for Allah does not guide the rebellious. So if we love our parents, our children, our partners, our siblings, our wealth, our homes, more than Allah, his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and jihad in the path of Allah, then in the eyes of Allah, we are rebels. We are rebels. So now how do we get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in us? According to Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahumullahu ta'ala, the love for all the family members, wealth, our homes, that is known as hubb fitri, is a natural love. But when it comes to Rasulullah, we need hubb ikhtiyari, we have to work on it. To gain that love, wherein we will love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than our own lives. Not seasonal ashiks, certain months, certain nights, we all become ashik-e Rasul, thinking by, you know, rendering one naat and praises of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we did justice. By us praising Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the greatest of poetry will not raise the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's so great that our poetry cannot enhance his status. And by us not reading poetry is not going to diminish the status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is only through the fadl and karam of Allah. We try to our best to praise and glorify Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the greatest of creation. Now, you know, we all claim to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many a times after learning and, you know, reading about the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to dream of him, many people pose this question, hey, I want to dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can I dream of him? A student goes to his teacher and he says, Ya Shaykh, Ya Ustad, I want to dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do I dream about him? What should I do? Ustad says, tonight you're coming to have meals with me and you're sleeping at my place. So the student got very happy. I'm going to eat and I'm going to dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To him, that's what he thought. When he got there for meals, the Ustad presented the meals in front of the student, and he added so much salt that you couldn't get any taste of the food but only salt. But being a student, out of respect and honor, he could not tell his Ustad, there's too much salt. Today the students will tell you, hey, you brother, get me takeaway chow. So what happens here? He's eating, and because of that excess salt, he wants water. So he says to the Ustad, Ya Ustad, is there any water? Ustad said, for you, no water tonight. And then he sends his student to go and sleep. Next morning, when he meets his student, they greet one another. The Ustad asks the student, how did you sleep? He said, I slept well. He says, did you dream? He says, yes. He says, what did you dream of? He said, I dream of the ocean. I dream of rivers and streams and fountains and rain. Everything to do with water. He says, why? He says, yesterday I was thirsty because of that salt. You know, my mouth was dry. I needed water, so I dream of water. So he says, that's your answer. If you want to dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to eat, drink, and sleep Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're not just going to get it by reading one wazifa and dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lives have to be in accordance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That love should be genuine. And if you want to see love, learn from the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. One Sahabi from amongst the Ashabi Sufa, Hazrat Rabi ibn Kab al-Aslami. He was from amongst the Ashabi Sufa. He had no family, no wealth, poor. They had one section in the masjid where all these, you know, people of Sufa should stay. People should come, give them sadaqah, khairat, zakat. Very poor. And this Hazrat Rabi ibn Kab al-Aslami presented himself, because now I got nothing, let me serve Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me become his true khadim. So he was always there ready and willing to serve Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even at night, wherever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whichever, you know, of his wife's house he would go, Hazrat Rabi ibn Ka'b would sit outside in case Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out middle of the night needing water, you know, to freshen up or for wudu, for tahajjud. He was there to serve Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he made khidmat so much that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, such a leader that whoever made ihsan upon him, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repaid that ihsan. Not today's times where you get the big hazrats, they only expect favors and hadiyah, but they're not prepared to give any ihsan or anything to everybody. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, excepting for one person, and this before his demise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it from the minbar, whoever made ihsan, I repaid them. One person's ihsan I can never repay. Allah will repay him. Is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Nonetheless, one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized, this poor sahabi, at all times he's at my service, let me ask him what he wants. So he says to Hazrat Rabi ibn Ka'b, salni, ask what you want. Subhanallah. It's like an open check. You know, they say the mayor will give you the keys to the city or the town. Do what you want. Ask what you want. And you think it will be rejected? The beloved of Allah is asking you, and if he has to raise his hands, Allah himself will accept. If me and you in that condition, what will we say? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me go home first, ask my wife. And then tomorrow after sleep, make a big grocery list and come to you and tell you what I need. Initially, Hazrat Rabi ibn Ka'b is thinking, you know what, I'm poor, maybe I need a family. He says, no, that's the dunya, let me think of the akhirat. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as'aluka murafataka fil jannah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want your companionship in Jannah. Subhanallah. What to ask? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Awa ghayra dhalik? Oh Rabbi, nothing else, only that? You don't want anything else? Many people interpreted that it was a, you know, an ask which cannot be fulfilled. No. What is beyond the powers of Allah? He's trying to say anything in this dunya or anything else. He says, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I just want your companionship in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then help me when it comes to this, bikathrati sujood, make excessive sujood and read salah, extra salah. Another sahabi, young sahabi, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at their love. Today we think of Jannah, and we all already owners of Jannah, we got our palaces and already we tell one another what we're going to do in Jannah. Did we ever think of being the neighbors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Never. All amongst ourselves. Young sahabi comes and he's crying. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ma yubkik, why are you crying? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I'm in your company, I feel elated. My iman, I feel so strong. My heart is full with joy, peace, contentment. No sooner I leave your blessed company, I'm at home. The whole mood changes. I start missing you. When I miss you, then I become sad. When I become sad, I come back to the masjid to see you. And when I see you again, I feel happy. Then he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's younger than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but out of respect, I have to die and you also have to leave this world. Most certainly you're going to Jannah and your rank in Jannah is right above with all the prophets. Me, I'm not even sure whether I'm going to Jannah. A sahabi, we already guaranteed Jannatis. This is a sahabi where Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. In their hearts is inscribed iman. Radiyallahu anhum waradu an. Allah says in the Quran, I am pleased with them and they are pleased with me. Yet they doubting, they fear that whether they're going to enter Jannah. And we are already landlords of Jannah and our palaces. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah grants me entry into Jannah, you will be right above, I will be at the bottom. How am I going to enjoy Jannah not being with you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't answer. He waits for an answer to come from above. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends on the ayah, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. That for those that follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those that show respect and honor to Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all those that have firm iman in Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with who? With the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the pious. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what a beautiful companionship this will be. Immediately, this was the answer for the young Sahabi, that if you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you love the prophets, you will be with the prophets and the pious people. He was elated and overjoyed. Do we have that love? With certainty he could say, I'm going to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that love was there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once addressing the Sahaba. He says to the Sahaba that, you know, there's going to be neighborhoods in Jannah. Number one, we got 8 stages of Jannah. The highest is Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. And Al-Wasila is the highest of stage. And that only belongs to one creation of Allah. And that is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you have neighborhoods. You have sub-levels in each stage. And then there's a neighborhood. People will be in the same neighborhood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine. Today if you move, and people ask you, where have you moved? Before you tell them the place name, you'll say, you know that famous person or that politician, even if you don't like that politician. But because he's famous, I'm staying, you know, 2 doors away from him, or he's staying on the same street or behind me. Imagine being the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jaraya. He's speaking of 2 sahaba that are going to be his neighbors. And which 2 sahabi? Is those sahaba that probably we won't even think of. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jaraya fil jannah. Zubair wa Talha. Jaraya fil jannah. Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma will be my neighbors in Jannah. Why Hazrat Talha? Why Hazrat Zubair? Initially, handful of Muslims that accepted Islam in the beginning stage. Amongst them was this youngster Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And one day, whilst in his home, he got news that the Quraysh are attacking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he couldn't bear hearing this news. He takes his sword, he unsheathes it, and he rushes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Hazrat Zubair with a naked sword. And he says, Oh Zubair, what are you doing with this naked sword? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I got news that the Quraysh are attacking you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they were, what would you have done? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this particular sword would have been there to protect you. The first sword that was removed from its sheath to protect the being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the sword of Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. Because of that bravery, he becomes the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. The second, Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls the day of Uhud Yawm Talha, the day of Talha. That day belonged to him. You know, you got a sportsman, and probably there was a great victory for that team, and there was one sportsman that stood out, and he was probably the reason for victory. So we see that match belonged to him, man of the match. So this particular day of Uhud, Yawm Talha, why? You see, when those archers that were placed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the rear on the hilltop, and now when Muslims were enjoying victory and collecting the booty and spoils of war, this particular group decided Now the battle is over. Muslims have tasted victory. Let's also go. Some say no, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed us not to move until he tells us. Some saying using logic, but the war is over. Victory. Look at the Muslims. And then they decided to go and join and participate. At that time, Khalid bin Walid, still not a Muslim, sees this opening from the rear and he comes and he attacks. From victory now it's confusion. And now rumors begin to spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become martyred. Many Muslims became despondent, very despondent. What sense now fighting? If Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here, let us leave. But there was a group that were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the mountain that did not move to protect the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his well-being. And amongst them was Hazrat Talha. Wallahi al-Azim, history bears witness. On that particular day, Hazrat Talha used his body, physical body, as a shield to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had more than 70 wounds on his body. Until the last blow, when that arrow came, and he couldn't put himself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stretched his hand out. It pierced through his hand, which his hand became paralyzed. And that is where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he made an announcement, if you want to see a walking shaheed, a shaheed is a person that dies in the path of Allah, but if you want to see a walking martyr, you will see Talha. They gave their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jaraya fil Jannah, Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair will be my neighbors in Jannah. Can we become the neighbors and be in the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes. You don't have to be a sahabi. Bring about that love which is such that we will love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than us. Four things, simple. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to say it. Number one, read durood in abundance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the person that reads durood in abundance will be closest to me on that day. Number two, for that person that nurtures, takes care, and sees or sponsors an orphan to see the well-being of an orphan, كَانَ مَأِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ كَهَاتَيْنِ, they will be with me in Jannah like these two fingers. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his hand and showed these two fingers. So if such virtues are to look after an orphan, can you imagine those that usurp the rights of orphans when it comes to inheritance, collecting in the name of orphans and eating it themselves? Number three, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for that person, and give them the best upbringing until they enter into marriage. Kahatain, same. Kana ma'iya fil Jannah, they will be with me in Jannah like this. And the fourth, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for that person that has good character is the best amongst people, and they will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not specify ibadat, salat, tahajjud, this, that. Look at that. All to do more so with hukukul ibad. One is sending durood unto Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, the orphans. Number three, two daughters. And you're taking akhlaq, character. With who? With one another. Be happy. Serve one another. Be kind, be loving, be forgiving, be forbearing. And that is most important. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, instilling us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah take us away with iman, raise us with iman. Wala hisab, wala azab, without any accounting, without any punishment. Allah grant us entry into Jannah together with our family members and progeny to come ila yawmil qiyamah. And let us all be neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amin. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.